I imagine that many of you, like me, love a good fireworks show. As a child, I remember the joy of going with my father to pick out fireworks from our local fireworks stand in preparation for the holiday display in our front yard. I always had an easy time convincing my dad to buy more fireworks, bigger fireworks. And so throughout my childhood, thanks to that dynamic with our father, it seemed like every year our fireworks show got more exciting. Now, I didn't realize that my older sister was going to be here today. She could tell you that there were times when it got a little too exciting. But we won't dwell on that this morning. Beyond those childhood memories, I have many adult memories of great fireworks shows at baseball games, at Disney World. One of my favorite adult memories of fireworks is from about 12 years ago, standing on the porch of a friend's apartment on the Charleston Peninsula, overlooking the Cooper River, watching the fireworks celebrating the opening of the new Ravenel Bridge spanning that river. The image of those synchronized, spectacular lights spanning that bridge is burned in my memory. In today's gospel reading, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to the mountaintop for a fireworks show. And not just any fireworks show, but a show of holy fireworks. They go to the mountaintop with Jesus and they get to experience the glory of God in a way that is likely beyond our imagination or our ability to conceive. But I want us to try anyway. Peter, James, and John had been with Jesus for many teachings, for many miraculous healings, miraculous feedings, but nothing with the pyrotechnics of the Transfiguration. This was different. This was God's breaking into the everyday world in a manner that was much more startling, much more exciting, and much more traumatic. In the passage just prior to the Transfiguration in Matthew's Gospel, Peter has just boldly confessed, upon being asked, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus offers his first passion prediction, his first explicit explanation to the disciples that he, Jesus, the Messiah, would have to suffer, be rejected, be put to death, and then 3 days later, rise again. Peter, who likely thought that this did not sound like the appropriate plan for a newly declared Messiah, tried to correct Jesus, only to have Jesus famously rebuke him with the words, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Following that rebuke, Jesus explains that anyone who wishes to be his disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. And then he tells the disciples that there are some among them who will not experience death until they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom, until they have seen Jesus glorified. Then we have today's reading, which tells us that 6 days after this prediction, Jesus takes three of his disciples up to the mountaintop and gives them a glimpse of that very glorification of the Son of Man, of Jesus in his kingdom. For a moment, Jesus is more fully revealed. God is more fully revealed, and God's kingdom breaks into this world. Jesus, the teacher, the healer, the miracle worker, allows more of his divine nature to shine through, to more vividly impact the reality, the limited reality that is inhabited by his disciples and by us today. And so what we get are holy fireworks. Jesus is transfigured, changed, metamorphosized. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes become dazzling. A brightness that was beyond human ability, perhaps almost blinding Peter, James, and John as they watched in awe and fear and in reverence. And then, there on either side of their blazing Messiah were these two ancient fathers of the faith, Moses and Elijah, men who had departed this world hundreds of years prior, and now Moses and Elijah were there before them, full of life and actually conversing with Jesus. We can only wonder about the topic of such conversation. We are not privy to those details. Only that Moses, the deliverer and the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet and the miracle worker, were in their very presence. Recognizing the marvelous and noteworthy nature of this moment, Peter speaks up, seeking perhaps to bring some order to this situation, or at least to domesticate it, however slightly, and offers to build three dwelling places, one for Jesus, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. Perhaps they would like to stay a while, maybe long enough for the disciples to figure out what exactly is going on. Certainly, this scene of glory seems preferable to the suffering, rejection, and death that Jesus says awaits them in the days ahead. But as Peter is making this offer, a bright cloud overshadows the disciples, a cloud that encompasses the very presence of God, protecting the disciples from gazing upon the unbearable. And from that cloud comes a voice, the voice of God providing both testimony and instruction. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And as they heard that grand pronouncement, the disciples fell to the ground overcome with fear, though their fear is quickly diminished and comforted by the presence and the touch of Jesus. They looked up, and the fireworks were over, at least for now. One imagines that the disciples stood there for a moment, wondering if that was it. Would there be more? Once God has broken into the world so dramatically, it may be difficult to trust that things will go back to normal. And for the disciples, the normal to which they returned as they walked down that mountain did not last long. There were different fireworks awaiting them, but only after the most harrowing part of their journey. Now, you may wonder whether this solemn and sacred event is properly described as fireworks. Aren't fireworks merely a meaningless spectacle for entertainment and enjoyment? No. Fireworks, when done correctly, inspire wonder and awe. And nothing that inspires wonder is meaningless. Today, and in the days ahead, as we prepare to enter the season of Lent, I want to encourage you to reflect on the Transfiguration as a sort of holy fireworks show, as a moment in which God awed Peter and James and John, and through them generations of Christians to us today. There are many questions that we could explore in this passage. Why Peter, James, and John? Why Elijah and Moses? Why the offer to build three dwelling places? Why did God come in a cloud? And these are all good questions. We've touched on some of them this morning. But if this spectacle, if these fireworks have a primary point, a primary purpose, it is to inspire awe, to create wonder, to expand the imagination of the disciples as they sat there, to expand our imaginations as to what is possible. We worship a God who will, from time to time, inspire us with holy fireworks. Turn to this story. Imagine the scene. Hold it in your mind's eye. Gaze upon the blazing white garments of the Messiah. Contemplate the holy conversation. Allow yourself to be awed, to drink deeply from the divine wonder. And then walk with Jesus back down from that holy mountaintop to your daily lives, refreshed and emboldened for the challenges that lie ahead.